You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Six months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. Eight teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
We'll drag the Dolphins in a moment, but first we've got some breaking Smash Mouth news. We've got to get to you right now. We've got to immediately break into whatever it is that we're doing around here and tell you what's going on with Smash Mouth. Many of you last week were fascinated, as were we, when we learned together that Smash Mouth, over a couple of shows, decided to put up an imposter as their lead singer in a costume that was made to look like the lead singer of Smash Mouth. Smash Mouth was up ahead of everybody when COVID was not allowing musical performances. Smash Mouth got out there first and is like, come on out and be a part of what it is we're doing. What's the update on Smash Mouth, Mike?
After allegedly going on hiatus to treat his heart and be replaced by a fake singer that the band themselves didn't admit was fake, Smash Mouth Steve, the original frontman, returned to the lineup this weekend for a gig in New York, Dan. And there was a viral TikTok of it. The gig was plagued by microphone feedback and an inability of the audience to listen to Smash Mouth Steve.
Again, you guys said this happened at the Magic City Casino. The owner reached out to us. He wants us to do whatever it is we want at the Magic
City
Casino.
Whatever it is
casino.
I want to do is
whatever
to see
it
Smash
is we
Mouth.
Want.
it would appear that Smash Mouth Steve has other things going on than just a heart problem, and I'm beginning to question the heart problem because he is slurring a whole bunch of words. He's got a beer in his hand, which I don't think is doctor's orders if he does indeed have a heart issue. He kept fighting the audience with his words, and then he invited the audience up to just finish songs for him. He also declared to the audience, if I could suck my own dick, I'd never leave the house. And I want to murder you and all of your families. And he also gave a Heil Hitler sign.
Oh, what? No. No, come yeah. on, Smash
Mouth.
Hey,
he was doing fine. Yeah. Right?
Well, I mean, it could have been anything, but it's kind of like porn. You know it when you see it. I'm not exactly sure. I mean, maybe it could have been sarcastic. I don't know. I don't know why I'm defending him. There's one point where he's just winded and puts himself up against a post and drops a beer that was in his hand. He was just totally messed up, which is why he brought the random girl on stage to sing the song, and she just told the audience it was his birthday. And they did play All Star, though.
Well, that's all you need from them, really. Yeah, everything else.
He didn't, though. He just kept telling the audience, I'll fucking kill you, I swear to God.
Yeah. You think we should put together that Smash Mouth Magic City Casino show and see if we could fill the place with our listeners to make a mockery of both Smash Mouth and music?
Being a Smash Mouth roadie must be bad enough, but to continually screw up while being a Smash Mouth roadie, you just like go home at the end of the day and wonder, where did it all go wrong? What happened to me that I'm the audio guy for Smash Mouth and I keep screwing up?
My dreams were to be a roadie, but I'm a roadie for Smash Mouth and I'm not any good at it. I continue to bring Smash Mouth shame beyond the shame that Smash Mouth brings by merely being Smash Mouth because I can't get the audio right. Speaking of shame, I want to ask you guys what happened with this Sylvester Stallone tweet. He was clearly watching the Tyson Fury fight, and I want theories on what I'm going to read to you. You just tell me what happened here. Hey, super congratulations to Taste of Fury for incredible display, obscure strains and courage. And tremendous respect to Dante Wilder, who proved his is every inch of warrior. This is why I love the sport so much. Again, I'm going to read that first sentence again. Hey, super congratulations to Taste of Fury for incredible display, obscure strains, and courage.
Voice attacks, Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're Sylvester Stallone, you can do voice to text.
You're making you're making your voice to text work. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is Sylvester Stallone making his voice to text work too much? Hey, super congratulations to Taste of Fury for incredible display, obscure strains, and courage. What was he trying to say?
I'm trying to figure out. I think Chris Cody's right, of strength and courage. Yeah. So if he says, hey, super congratulations to Tyson Fury for an incredible display of strength and courage, I think it becomes display obscure strains and courage.
You're right.
Yep.
You're right.
Nailed it.
Now, did he not read it before? Like, what's happening there that he's not reading it before hitting send?
No, he said what he said. He did not look at it. He just hit send right after he said
because
it.
Because I thought it might have been an age and eyesight thing.
Do you think so? It's been reported that the way that Magic Johnson tweets is, I believe he leaves voicemails on the phone of someone who then transcribes the voicemails and tweets them. So I wonder if this is a similar case where there's like an assistant somewhere who gets a voice message from Sylvester Stallone who's trying to make something of this, knows nothing about boxing, and this is what he puts together.
I think that the person who is making text out of Magic Johnson's tweets has arrived in the same sort of hellish place as the roadie for Smash Mouth, who is like, what am I doing with my life here? These voicemails are ridiculous. Then Magic keeps leaving me, where he's just like, the Clippers outplayed the Lakers in the third quarter.
Yeah, but listen to Magic's tweet about the same fight. It's no doubt Tyson Fury is the baddest man in the world after knocking out Deontay Wilder in the 11th round. Easy cheesy.
He does the most obvious things. I really think it's a good idea. I don't know how we execute it for simply ESPN as part of its NBA show to have the Twitter account of Magic Johnson in a chair just continually scrolling as off screen he leaves messages for his Twitter person and they just go up. That you guys cannot tell me that would not be better as a viewing experience than whatever obvious things Magic Johnson is going to say as part of that pregame show. Billy, you seem to come in here today with a vigorous pep in your step, which is unusual for you. It was like looking at you was like the opening of a champagne bottle. And I'm wondering if this is because you're just happy that Mike's Browns lost. Because I feel like when Mike's football gets hurt, whether it's UM or the Browns, that this gives you a little extra energy to go about your life.
No. I got some sea air, Dan, over the weekend. Smelled some salt in the air. Yeah.
Nice.
Got away to exotic Hallandale Beach for the weekend. Ooh, yeah, that's right.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us more.
Well, that's pretty much the whole thing. Me and my wife and the baby. Yeah, little mini staycation.
But, so you went to Hallandale and you stayed in a hotel and you did the beach. That's a nice area. I grew up, that's the beach I went to. My father would go deep into the water and then he'd be a pesculo where he would just pull his pants down and breach the water. And that's what he would call himself. That's what I remember about
him. Now, so it's not just horrifying.
Did you do anything as a dad? Well, did you pee with pulling your pants down all the way to your ankles? Did you do anything around your family time dad stuff? Did you do any of that?
I found out that 4-month-olds do not like sand, which is worrisome when you go to the beach for a weekend. That's not the best. But hey, lesson learned. Maybe we'll revisit the sand in a couple of months or years or never. We'll see.
I've got Billy with a frozen pina colada in hand.
I did have some pina coladas, yeah.
Nice, Billy.
Outrageously priced. Don't get me started.
I want to hear more about Billy's staycation. I want to hear every detail of how this plays out. Do you stay out late at night? Whittingham ended up at Mike's birthday party at Space the other day at 2 a.m. and drove down the wrong road to get there, the wrong way on a one-way street. You, I don't know
I had a 4-month-old. No, I went to sleep at 9 o'clock. I had to wake up to find out that Alabama lost. There was nothing I wasn't at clubs in Hollandale Beach. I was going to sleep because we were in one room and I couldn't have the TV on because it would wake up the baby.
Is there a club in Hollandale Beach? I'm not even certain there is one.
Is there still the Cheetah Hollandale? Does that still exist?
Oh, yeah, that still exists.
That's
yeah,
one of
yeah,
the ones yeah, that you kept afloat
dangerous
for a while.
Dangerous game.
You
yeah,
and you and Murph kept that one afloat for a little
just
while.
Just me and Murph, yes.
Chris, how are you feeling about the entire Dolphin situation? Because yesterday when we were talking during the post game after the NFL games, you were saying we've got Atlanta and the Jets up next. And that's the Spider-Man meme.
And Jags.
Okay, yeah. Excuse me. The Jags and the Falcons, but they're looking at you the same way. They're like, Urban Meyer's like, no, I'm going to fix this against
the
Dolphins.
My win.
They're looking at you the same way you're looking at them. The only difference between you and them is those two teams aren't playing with their backup quarterback.
The defense is really bad for the Dolphins, and that's what we were supposed to hang our hat on. So I'm feeling like shit about the Dolphins right now. I got to the red zone very early yesterday, even though they were, as my dad said, competing early in that game. The writing was on the wall early in that game, and I'm a bad Dolphins fan when I don't feel like they're good, so I've just gotten to the red zone really quick.
It's difficult to be a Dolphin fan and a Jet fan right now. The Patriots had their run, but you feel like you're now seeing the Patriots again in the form of the Buffalo Bills, where it's their division for the next 15 years. That team is so overwhelming and so ridiculously good. They're just talented, man. So it feels like they're going to own that division with Josh Allen for like at least the next decade.
If he stays healthy, we're headed toward the AFC East feeling that way for a while because the Bills have scored more points than anyone in the league. They've allowed fewer points than anyone in the league. So they're averaging about 35 points a game. They're allowing.
That's a good combo, by the way.
Yeah. We're no experts.
It's the best combo. Man.
They're allowing about 12 points a game. And if you look over their last 16 games, a season sample, they're like 14-2 and beating everybody by double digits. They go into Kansas City last night. Josh Allen is leaping over defenders who are trying to tackle him on 3rd and 4. I don't want my quarterback ever doing that. Do you want your quarterback until it's successful? And then I'm like, I love that my quarterback does that.
It's part of that quarterback's game. I want him to keep doing it. They're plus 108, and the next highest in the AFC, I believe, is Mike's Cleveland Browns at plus 28. I mean, it's ridiculous.
They are scorching everybody.
He's such a good quarterback.
Yeah.
We were all so wrong on Josh Allen. We're not going to do that show again, but I will just say that he casually threw a touchdown pass to Emmanuel Sanders where the ball just effortlessly left his hand, and it was right on the money. That was a 40-yard pass, and I cannot believe that's the same guy I saw his rookie season.
It's crazy.
It's an incredible job by Brian Daboll, who I'm not a huge fan of from his time in Cleveland, and Ken Dorsey, who now – Ken Dorsey has that and fixing Cam Newton, or not fixing Cam Newton, but elevating Cam yes, Newton on his resume. He's a really good coach.
Cam Newton done?
Yeah, it would appear so. No.
Shirtless yeah, in the crowd with Bruce Pearl. Yeah, so,
I enjoy
yeah,
that.
That was great.
No. You see what happened in Seattle? Cam Newton's not done.
I saw Geno Smith made an
Smith
appearance.
Geno Smith got locked down. Yeah.
All of us yeah, reacted the same way to Geno yes, Smith. We were all like, wait, that Geno Smith? Because we've gotten to the place in the league where there's an Asante Samuel Jr. running around. So I'm like, wait, is that Geno Smith's kid?
Yeah. Asante Samuel Jr., Pat Sertan Jr., and I'm sure Cam Newton did like that video game chair meme when he yeah, leaned forward when he saw Russell Wilson is finally out, and then Geno Smith goes 99 yards. I think Geno has that job.
When Russell Wilson is out for weeks with fingers, do you not think to yourself, how does nothing like this ever happen to Tom Brady? Like he had one season where
that's all I think about every single weekend.
He never gets injured. Let's talk a little bit more here about what the Bills are doing because when you look at that division and when you look at the plight of the Dolphins, Stugatz, and the Jets for that matter, another season is already over.
Yep.
It's unbelievable how quickly these teams extinguish your hope. This has been 20 years, and how many in 20 years we've had 3-4 seasons that don't get ruined right away in South Florida?
You had the Pennington season from a Jets perspective. You had the two seasons where they went to the AFC Championship game. But, yeah, this is, for the most part, this is what it's been, and it's what it's going to continue to be with Josh Allen.
The Bills, incidentally, also, it's not just – if Josh Allen doesn't get hurt, the Bills have the second easiest remaining schedule in the league, Stugatz. Like, they are headed. I don't understand how they lost to the Steelers in the first game of the season.
Block punt.
And I think with the second easiest schedule in the league, they're going to end up being like 13-3 or 14-2 if they stay healthy.
The disappointment, though, in the Dolphins is actually that there were signs of hope heading into this season. Because they went 10-6 a year ago, because they have that secondary of Howard and Byron Jones, and they turned over opponents so much. There was a game that they had against Justin Herbert and the Chargers, where after the game, Keenan Allen was like, we had nothing for them. Like, they completely outsmarted us. And you thought you had a coach, you thought you had a defense, and it was just about Tua making a leap. And then the whole base of the thing has completely fallen apart, and Tom Brady picks you apart for 45 points. You keep kicking field goals inside the 5-yard line against Tom Brady. That's been my entire life, is trying to beat Tom Brady with field goals, and you're back to square one. It sucks.
Guys, beating the Chiefs on the road is one thing. Dominating the Chiefs and winning by 18 points on the road is a completely different thing. It really is.
That Chiefs defense is really bad, though.
The Bills defense is really good, though.
The Chiefs defense is turning every single team in the league to the Chiefs offense.
The Chiefs have allowed, I think this is the first time this has ever happened, at least 29 points in all of their first five games. Like, they're terrible at defense. 29 points, I think it's the first time, five straight games at least, they can't play. And you guys mentioned how it is that Josh Allen looks. You're looking at a quarterback, Mike, saying the effortless 40-yard pass that he can make, where you're like, how does all of that exist in the same body? And Jimmy Johnson is saying that, as Drew Brees says, that he's never seen a ball come out of a hand the way it does out of Justin Herbert's hand.
Right.
Jimmy Johnson is saying if he were building a team right now, he would take Herbert over Mahomes.
Wow.
Wow. That is
crazy.
That is crazy high praise. And that makes this Dolphin experience worse. And you're starting to see worst, it on Twitter a little bit about, wow, we obviously messed up in not taking Justin Herbert. It's revisionist history, because we can't let that really be a narrative. Because if the Dolphins took Justin Herbert in that spot, there would have been a riot in the streets. But that, I guess that's real leadership,
take the,
right?
Take it. Yeah, take the riot.
Until they see his play, Mike.
I just want the Herbert one time. Well, right. Give me the Herbert one time.
The problem, obviously, is Justin Herbert.
Marino.
Justin Herbert's really good, right? Justin Herbert's awesome. And the reason why Tannenbaum was saying I'd take Herbert wasn't even so much that, well, I think he's awesome. He's been validated not just on Herbert being good, but he was validated on the specific reasons he outlined. Tua's got injury concerns. I'm worried about Burrow holding up. Look at that frame from Justin Herbert. Burrow's dealt with injuries. Tua is not playing for this team right now. And he was bang on just about frame.
Herbert had pimples like 2 years ago. God damn it, man.
He's still got pimples. When he shaves his head, you're like, oh my God, that's going to be dominating the sport for 12 years. And then, this is an old reference. I don't even remember. Was it Master Blaster in the original Mad Max that Mel Gibson had to fight a guy who had a helmet on and so you couldn't see his head? And it was a big giant guy. But it was basically, he had a tiny little baby old man as a head underneath the helmet. I feel like when you take Josh Allen's helmet off, you have somebody with a tiny, tiny head on, like a gladiator, on a gladiator's Dwayne Johnson body. Like, if you keep the helmet on, both Herbert and Allen, you're like, whoa, some of the best adult men quarterbacks I've ever seen. Then you take off their helmets and you're like, oh my God, they're babies. They're fetuses. They're going to end up devouring football for the next decade and a half.
The scheming that went into how to defend both those quarterbacks last night, Kansas City, for different reasons, was like, we got to throw everybody back because they're just flatly terrible. And the book on Kansas City now, because of how popular what the Bucs did in the Super Bowl was, You just rush your defensive line, whether it's a 3 or 4 man front, and then everybody else is back. We are not allowing Tyreek Hill to run for 60 yards on us anymore. That is not going to happen. We're going to force Patrick Mahomes, who's a little reckless with the ball and has gotten away with it over his career, to play totally clean. But then Mahomes and Josh Allen are like, aha, we'll just run. How do you do anything about that? I don't understand how you stop the evolution of not just mobile and not just a chooch, but also, in the case of both of those guys, mobile and big. Like, it hurts hitting them. You don't want to put a hit on them because they're going to punish you too, because those are big guys.
6 months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. 8 teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Josh Allen is one kind of running where you're saying to yourself, just rein that in a little bit. It's just don't get hurt. Just do not get hurt running the football. But another thing about Herbert Stugatz is he's plenty athletic enough getting out of that pocket. What he does rolling out, what both of them do, throwing the football, rolling out, where you're like, whoa, that's the arm strength that Jay Cutler had that we marveled at in the pocket, not rolling out.
Herbert had 5 rushing touchdowns last year. Like, he's athletic. He can get out of the pocket, as you just pointed out. He can buy himself time. And if he has to run, he doesn't do it often. He can run. So
he's plenty athletic. Mike, how you said something regrettable where you were talking about Herbert a week ago or 2 weeks ago before playing his team.
And I admitted that I didn't like him coming out of Oregon. And I would have taken Burrow and Tua.
All of us would have. Tannenbaum was the only one saying that. You were saying that his numbers, that he was somewhat overrated, or that his numbers to now, even though they don't have a whole lot of precedent, that you weren't that impressed by the outliers of getting undressed by Belichick, being shut out. But you experienced that yesterday. Your team is hurt. But did you not marvel? Because since this dude has been throwing footballs, Drew Brees is saying, I've never seen a ball come out of a hand like that.
Yeah, he's gotten a lot better, kind of like the Josh Allen thing. No, he's a monster. I was saying 2 weeks ago, there was a lot of hype when statistically he was 3rd best in the AFC. Now 2 games, and he's beaten Derek Carr, and he's beaten Baker Mayfield. He's a menace. He's an absolute menace. And yesterday, what he was doing that I hadn't really seen was, his pocket wasn't that clean despite the injuries to Clowney. Garrett was still getting some pressure on him. So he was falling off of his back foot a lot, and he was still putting stuff on the money. They have given him big targets. That's a physical football team. Last night you called Eckler tiny. No, he's tiny by comparison.
Right.
Austin Eckler is 200 pounds of just pure muscle. That is a physical football team with really big guys. They don't have a big margin. They have a bigger margin of error. And on top of that, he doesn't need it because he's so accurate, and they cause all these mismatches that if you're in a situation like the Cleveland Browns, where you have a bunch of new guys in the lineup, right? It's not just you're missing your 2 corners and you have a drop off there. You have less bodies, so your coverages are more vanilla, right? You can't have exotic blitz packages. You can't change up your coverages because I've got 2 healthy corners now. So what happens? Staley, who is so smart, he is a really smart coach, puts the offense in a situation where the defense is so confused by all the misdirection that you have defensive breakdowns because you're working with new people and they're giants. And that's how you have a 6'5" wide receiver running unguarded for 40 yards. It's because there is so much going on. And on top of all of that, you have a quarterback that even if you play him perfectly, he will put it on the money. That is going to be a really good team for a very long time.
You have heard me over the years say that coaching and the stuff we do about coaching has been overstated. And then you see what happened with the Chargers, where Anthony Lynn with that quarterback just kept losing these close games last year. The Chargers were much better than they look, but with a rookie quarterback, they didn't know how, and a coach who wasn't very good, they didn't know how to win any of these close games. They lost a remarkable number of close games.
Eventually, he wins those games, though, right?
I don't know, but the difference in watching that team now, like, those numbers do and can even out, but Anthony Lynn was buried under criticism with the Chargers, and he was one of these laughingstock coaches who got run out of town. And then to see this Staley dude, it's not just Stugatz that he's going for it on 4th and 2 inside his own 25 early in the game. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. It's 4th and 7, 4th and 8. Bleep you, my quarterback. Look at what hangs below his waist. Do something about it.
Brandon Staley was a defensive coordinator. Think about defensive coordinators that take over teams. They're Vic Fangio. They're usually ultra-conservative. We'll win it with our defense. Brandon Staley is this next evolution of, I've been going up against Sean McVay's offense in practice for several years. I know what annoyed the shit out of me as a defensive mind. I know what I don't want to see, and I'm going to do that to other defenses. It is brilliant. That guy is terrifying. He goes for it because he knows he has the talent to get it all the time in instances where I'm not even sure the math backs him up 100% of the time. And he's just balls to the wall. I love that coach.
But it's the coach knowing what to do with the talent. Whether he's defensive coach, offensive coach, doesn't really matter. He sees the talent on the field and he knows what to do with it. And he knows not to waste it. And he's not wasting it. And I'm not certain if Anthony Lynn wins those games eventually just because Justin Herbert gets better. Justin Herbert deserves the credit way more than the coach deserves the credit for having the balls to go for it with that kind of quarterback. I mean, I just feel like a lot of coaches would.
You're saying that. No, Stugatz, zero. There are zero who have done it. I have not seen one game in my lifetime, not one, coached the way that one was yesterday. Not a single game where it's 4th and 7. And here's the thing about that, Stugatz, that to me is so interesting. You tell me, all of you listening to this, whoever your team is and whoever your defense is, you tell me, you've got the Chargers right now and 4th and 7. What do you want them to do? Because you're begging for a punt. And Staley's like, no. Not go 4th and 7. No, I can get 7 yards. Look at the size of my receivers. I'll get 7 yards.
Look at the size of my quarterback.
Give me 4th downs. That's fine. I'll take it on 4th and 7 and 4th and 8. And down 2 touchdowns. 4th and 2 inside his own 25. It's nuts. Like, it's nobody coaches a game like that.
It's not normal for me to have a game with 500 yards of offense, 40 points, no turnovers, and lose. In fact, that's an understatement. It's never happened before in the history of the sport. But for me to have 2 punts in that game and be like, well, that's a game, that's insane. That's pure insanity.
They are 7 for 8 on 4th downs, and the one they missed was the punter throwing the football. When Herbert throws the football, 7 for 7, is what they are on 4th down.
And he's bullshit call from the refs too. It was offensive pass interference. That would have ended the game, but okay.
Is this already worse than the Dolphins taking Jake Long over Matt Ryan?
No.
Ronnie Brown over Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, the Jets took Ken O'Brien over Dan Marino. I mean, you had Marino, man. Like, I've had nothing.
I don't want to hear about
literally
Marino,
nothing.
Okay? It's been too long. And then the Herberts and the Matt Ryans happen. Like, this is enough. I know it's all a crapshoot. I'm not saying that the people that took Matt Ryan and the people that took Herbert are smart. It's a roll of the dice, and the Dolphins always roll a 7.
You want to roll a 7, though, on your first roll.
Yeah,
right?
It's a good roll, 7.
The Dolphins and Jets don't roll a 7. They just roll 7s when you don't want 7s.
Here's something that I learned yesterday.
Then they roll 2 and 3 and 12 when you do want 7s, and they take your money.
But, they suck.
I mean, okay, so if we're doing the craps analogy, something that I learned yesterday, silver lining, you got to get a high draft pick, right? Apparently, you don't have a roll next time. Because you moved up 6 spots to take a wide receiver you don't know how to use. Now you don't have a pick next year.
They do have a pick. It's just San Francisco's pick in the teens. Whereas right now, the Dolphins pick is at 3.
The season's over, right? It's over.
I mean, Tua will come back at some point. And you hope that that's a sizable upgrade over Jacoby Brissett, who always looks injured. He's a lump. I would describe his movement as lumbering.
He always looks tired.
He always looks like he's lumbering.
He was definitely injured yesterday. Yes. He was injured going into that.
Yes.
Have you ever seen someone carted off the field and carted back on? That happened yesterday with Jacoby Brissett. And you are so right about the loose-fitting sleeves.
Yeah.
I think if already on the injury report headed into a game, it should be questionable. Loose-fitting sleeves.
There was like a five-minute period, though, where the timeline was getting a little excited about Reed Sinet. The Reed Sinet era was about to begin.
Oh, God.
You never know when you see a new quarterback jogging onto the field.
Oh, you never know, Dan. It could be the next Kurt Warner, the next Tom Brady. How are you feeling up 10-7?
Or it could be Davis Mills.
Good. Well, he was good yesterday, Davis
stop.
Mills.
Just please stop.
Keep an eye on him.
Right. Watch out for Davis.
I love this analysis of does Brissett look sluggish, because it feels to me like Brissett, however it is, in the middle of the night that you get up to go to the bathroom, it feels like that's the state Brissett is playing in.
Where groggy.
Sluggish.
Feeling his way around the room.
Can't really see.
His feet are bare. He doesn't want to step on a Lego or anything.
Lego.
I had a dream about Davis Mills last night.
No.
That is so odd.
No, my mind.
Just telling the guys. I had a dream that he came over for Noche Buena.
Right.
But he was wearing his football helmet, because I guess that's the only way I could recognize him. And his neck was three times longer than it is in real life. So, like, to enter the room, he had to, like, kind of brontosaurus's neck.
He's a giraffe.
Yeah.
Seems like a nice guy. Was he nice in your dream?
Oh, he was a delight. Right? He was a delight. He kept pronouncing Spanish food, but with an American accent. What are these called? Frijoles?
Oh, that's adorable.
You're so nice, Davis Mills.
I can't wait to try this lechon.
Mike Tannenbaum gets another job, right, because of this Herbert stuff?
He should.
He was doing real estate in Miami. He's wrecked two franchises with the Jets and the Dolphins.
Is that leading his resume now?
Oh,
yeah, it has to be.
He works it into every conversation he has.
His resume is just an MP3 of that sound. That's of him talking about Herbert. He doesn't need a resume.
All over the league, he's just sending
Burrow or
that
Tua.
To, he's sending
I go Herbert.
It to owners.
That's his ringtone.
Burrow or Tua, I go Herbert. Herbert, that's what that is great, Chris.
Even Burrow's good, though.
Oh, Burrow's so good. Yeah.
I know we couldn't have had him. I'm just saying, like, they all turned out good, except the Dolphins.
You don't feel like Tua's going to come back here and save anything, do you? Like, they'll
it's gonna be better than Jacoby.
Okay, but...
I need something.
His sleeves are not as loose.
Right.
He's going to be better than Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby does this thing in the press conference, though, where he's like, I'm the starter till they tell me I'm not. It's like, just be the humble backup. You're Jacoby Brissett.
Lost by four touchdowns. Enough.
I'm still the starter. They haven't told me yet he's coming. It's all right. Relax, Jacoby.
Chris, you were encouraged when Jacoby Brissett took over. You were excited. Dare I say
excited?
I said
when he jogged onto the field, there was just the unknown. Now we know.
He's absolutely gotten slower, though.
Yeah.
That's
why I was excited.
Either he's banged up right now, and credit to him for playing hurt, but he is so slow. Yeah. Not just running. Yeah. Just everything is slow.
Even the balls that he throws on a line take forever to get there.
Everything. Taking the snap and taking his drop back. Everything.
Again,
so slow.
I'm going to say it, and I want Miami to feel it with me.
Don't say it.
It's him coming out of bed 2 o'clock in the morning and a football game starting right there. He's barefooted and it's the whole game. Like, right. He's like, he was asleep. He's dreaming of Davis Mills and Frijoles, and he gets out of bed because he's got to go to the bathroom. He was in REM sleep. He was deep in there. And now all of a sudden he's like, oh, you know what? I've been dreaming that I was peeing, and I would, because it's, I feel it. I've got to get up now. I'm in a dark room. Boom, lights go on. 100,000 people drop back to pass.
That's when they blitz. That's the lights being turned on really fast and you can't see anything.
And Brady's been up for hours. I mean, he is fresh.
He's just trying to get out of the bed and not step on one of the Legos. And boom, the lights go on, and he hears Al Michaels' voice. It's Sunday Night Football.
He just sees Jesse Davis not blocking somebody.
It's Myles Garrett, and he's coming untouched. And what is he going to do? He's going to throw to Gaskin 140 times.
I like those plays.
It worked.
Gaskin
early.
Was crushing it.
That was the
best Dolphins of the whole season.
10-7 after a quarter.
I think you might have figured something out with Myles Gaskin.
So many people yesterday, and I love when this happens around the show because it's so incredibly random. And the number of times that has happened is basically every weekend. There was a portion of America yesterday that was thrilled for our show because Mike Glennon jogged into the game with the New York Giants. Mike Glennon is something that people were associating with us just because I'm assuming Chris Cody and Mike Ryan did Mike Glennon's neck the other day. They sounded like Mike Glennon's neck. And so we're watching that game. And the only reason to watch Giants Cowboys for our audience, if you're not a Giants or a Cowboys fan, is hooray, Mike Glennon has made an appearance. And one of the delights in this sport, Stugat, I feel like all of us, no matter how much we're watching football, every couple of weekends, a quarterback makes an appearance like Geno Smith to delight Billy, where you're just learning, I thought he stopped playing 5 years ago. Correct? We all had the same reaction with Geno Smith.
Mm-hmm. And we had it with Mike Glennon as well. Yeah.
I was so excited to see Geno. When he got rolling, I was like, this is good, because I had the Seahawks, and I was like, this is going to work out for me. It did not. It did not work out. I even texted Stugat. I had no one to talk to at the time. I was texting Stugat nonstop. He didn't answer me a single time. I was like, this is great, Geno. This is great. Geno's great. This is awesome. And then by the end, I was like, Stugat, is this what it was like with Geno every single week? And then I started texting him things like, would you rather have Russell Wilson with two left hands? One of them.
I enjoyed that, seeing those poll questions from Friday's show.
I just love Billy casually throwing in there, I had no one else to text.
It's the truth. It was like 11:30 at night. I don't have anyone to talk to at that time. I'm out there and I'm like, God, I just really hope that they win this game so I don't have to pick a stupid punishment. I hate this thing so much. Stugatz is not responding to me. So rude.
Sleeping.
Can we go through the backup quarterbacks in the league so there are no more surprises? Because Chad Henne surprises us every year when he runs out there for Kansas City to do anything. But this is happening every couple of weeks in the sport, is it not? Where a backup quarterback is making an appearance and you're learning for the first time that that guy plays on that team.
All right. Well, we know Mitchell Trubisky. I'm just going team by team here as the backup for the Bills. They have the best backup situation in the NFL, which is, man.
I had to Google the Jets backup. If Zach Wilson goes down, Mike White.
Oh, boy.
Trevor Lawrence's backup is C.J. Beathard.
Oh, wow. He's still hanging around. Huh?
Wow.
Amazing. Where's Josh Dobbs? He has to be. Is it still in Pittsburgh? Yeah. It has to be in Pittsburgh.
Right? No, he can't be. The third string quarterback in Pittsburgh?
He's always in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is Josh Dobbs always in Pittsburgh? Because I'm thinking that right now he's not in Pittsburgh.
What do you think happens in Tennessee if Ryan Tannehill goes down?
Oh, this should be fun.
Would Logan Woodside be an answer?
Dobbsy. He is still, it's Dwayne Haskins and Josh Dobbs in Pittsburgh.
Oh, it's not, wait a minute, it's not Mason Rudolph bouncing around there anymore?
He's still there. They have four quarterbacks.
Yeah. You never know.
They have four quarterbacks? Yes. They don't have any quarterbacks.
Yeah, you never know.
I saw Chase Daniels still collecting checks.
Where?
If something happens to Justin Herbert, Chase Daniel is there. I don't know. Chase Daniel must be a really nice guy because he had a camera shot on him during this game, and they were like, wow, this guy's a veteran presence. It's like the dude in Office Space that he keeps his job and gets promoted just because they like him.
If God forbid Brady has to miss a play, Blaine Gabbert is there to back him up. How about that? Still hanging around.
Is it going to be Gabbert? Or that'll be Trask, right? Or is Trask the third?
No, Gabbert. Gabbert was in victory formation yesterday.
Yeah. Chase Daniel has made $38.9 million. Some career.
What a life.
Where's Peterman?
He played yesterday.
Las Vegas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He played yesterday.
So Derek Carr gets hurt on a quarterback sneak. Nathan Peterman comes in. and then Carr's ready to come back in on a like a fourth and short situation. And this is how you could telegraph the next play. Carr's running back in, and Gruden's like, I think I need to run another sneak here, man. Where's the Peterman? Peterman comes in, runs the sneak in the most obvious quarterback sneak situation ever. And then Carr just comes right back in.
If Goff gets hurt in Detroit, it's David Blah. I think that guy has started a playoff game.
I would remember no way. The David Blah
Put it on the poll,
game.
Guillermo. Did David Blah start a playoff game, yeah, yes or no?
Wasn't he third string in Houston?
I think he started or Hoyer, played in the
I
playoff
I thought Hoyer
game.
Started that game for Houston, the 20-0 game that they lost on Saturday.
I think Stugatz might be mistaking him because he started a Thanksgiving game.
Oh,
which,
maybe.
Which feels like a playoff game because it's the Lions' lone playoff game Lions every have. Year.
No, David Blah, I didn't know it was pronounced that way. No, yeah, I remember him not. From like a Browns preseason.
Is it Blow?
No, it should be. Yes. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Does a Thanksgiving Day game feel like, do you remember Thanksgiving Day games as playoff games? Yes or no? There was a lot of fun stuff yesterday, man. Not much of it with our teams. Because you can even say the Lions game is fun, even though you lose it at the end. You recover that fumble. Your coach goes for it. It goes to win a game on the road. Man Campbell, Stugatz. Man Campbell.
Yep.
Going for two. Down whatever it was, 16-15 or 17-16. Going for two in a spot where so many coaches kick the extra point. Gets it and loses the game anyway and cries afterward.
First time he's ever cried. I'm sorry that I'm playing the backup quarterback game. It's the greatest game you've ever come up with because I can't imagine if Kyler Murray went down and Colt McCoy strolled right in. Like, what do? You have to change the entire offense. I mean, Colt McCoy can't run those plays.
Now that Taysom Hill got carted off yesterday, the Saints' backup to Jameis Winston is Trevor Siemian.
Wow. Get out of here.
It's not a bad quarterback room they got over there.
Yeah.